Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Praise God, He's got so much more for us. Amen? You must believe it, He's got more for you than what you ever were thinking about. He's got more for you. And there's more to come, I know. There's more to come. So thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your Spirit that's present. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we declare just this morning again, have your way in our lives, Father, not just in certain moments, but in everything that we do. Father, we surrender, Father, in our workplace, sometimes in a place of frustration, sometimes in a relationship, sometimes with our children, sometimes, Lord, with purpose and destiny, but whatever, have your way in us. Have your way so that we can follow you, Father, for you are the true God and you are living. And Father, that what you have destined for us, you said, God is not a man that he can lie. But that what he says, he watches over his word and is ready to perform it. He's ready to do, and therefore his faithfulness is towards us. Thank you, Lord, that you're upholding your covenant even with us. Knowing, Lord, that we have someone that intercedes for us. A high priest, a savior, a Lord. One that has got affections for you. One that says that can relate to us. Yet he was without sin. Come on. And we praise you, Father. We praise you, Jesus, for who you are. And we lift up the mighty name because you are glorious. Just become aware of his name. Just become aware of who God is. Because he is awesome. He's beautiful. Father, your majesty, your splendor, your glory, your atmosphere, your name we lift up. Your name we lift up. Your name we declare, because your name, Father, you've given Jesus a name that's above all names. He said, no other name. Come and just become aware of the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shetarabarabashonto. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you come. I pray this week, you intervene, Father. You intervene in situations. If you trust God for situations to change, Father, I speak and I declare, Lord, that you will come this week by your Spirit and by your power and intervene, Lord, and do miracles, that you will show a way. Father, that you will release hope and that you will come and speak purpose. Father, that you will give us a way to see in new ways. For you are good. Come on, you need to drink in his presence. You need to drink in his presence. Because in his presence, everything come and change. He says in his presence, there's healing. In his presence, everything is possible. In his presence, the river of God flows. Isaiah says, come freely without money, without cost. He says, come. That which you can't buy, he says, come and get. Drink from the rivers, the milk and the honey, the wine, whatever you need, come. He says, without cost and without money, there's a gift. There's something that God wants to give to you. But come as you are. Come as you are. Lord, that's why we declare, have your way. Come on, just say with me, Lord, have your way. Again, Lord, have your way. One more time, Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's get into the word. And I usually want to say, I'm not going to be long. And I've realized that I'm saying it wrong. I need to say, I'm going to try not to be long. Okay. I've been saying it wrong the couple of last weeks. Sorry. I apologize. But no, I believe that today going to be blessed. Let's open your Bible to the book of Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. I want to speak on when God diverts you. When God diverts us. How many times you think you've got a plan and you have a purpose, you're on direction, you're going somewhere, and then God diverts you. Who of you have experienced that before? Come on. Okay, you don't be shy. Otherwise, afterwards, we pray for a lying spirit. Amen. God diverts us sometimes. And I want to speak just a little bit on when God diverts us, because he says here, Proverbs 23:26, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." Come on, my son, give me your heart. Does God have your heart? He comes, he starts with, "My son, you belong to him." Identity, affirmation. One of the things when a father comes, "You are my son." He affirms and he speaks over us. So for you, the daughters, "My son" or "My daughter." Come on, "Give me your heart." Does God have your heart? "Let your eyes observe my ways." Above all, God wants your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, what about the heart? He says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, all these things, at every cost." Why? Because from it flows the issues of life, or the springs of life. Come on. Your life flows from your heart. But does God have your heart? He says, "Give me your heart. Give me your heart." Jeremiah 17, why? Because it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." Come on. "Desperately sick." Some translation says, "Desperately wicked. Who can understand it?" And then it says, "I, the Lord," verse 10, Jeremiah 17:10, "search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." God knows our hearts. Does God have your heart? There where he says, "Give me your heart." Does your heart belong to him? Now there's two parts, the heart and the eyes that see. So heart, I love the Hebrew pictographs, the pictures, because they write in comic strips pictures. So the picture for heart is two pictures. One of a shepherd's staff that speaks of authority, and one is a picture of a tent which speaks of something that's inside. And together it speaks of the authority on the inside. That's the picture of the heart, is the authority on the inside. Have you realized that you have authority on the inside? Come on. Sometimes we're unaware of what we have, or you don't use that. So give me your heart, or you. God has given you something. He knows that there's an authority on the inside that God has given you. You see, what we are aware of, the consciousness of man, is seen as coming from the depths of our hearts. That what you're aware of, and that what you understand about life, and the consciousness of man, that consciousness comes from the depths of your heart. But there's an authority that God has given you on the inside. Therefore he says, "Rule, reign, have dominion." Come on. So there's an authority. The other part is the eye, where he says that your eye that needs to see. We see with our eyes. "Let your eyes observe my ways." The picture for eye, there's two pictures again. Is one is a picture of an eye. Okay. And then the second is again like a sprouting seed, a germinating seed. And whenever we speak of seed, it speaks of something that continues. Come on, generations, the continuance. So when you see the eye, it speaks of the eye that continues, or the eye of continuance, or representing that what continues to see. And I want to declare that your eye will continue to see the goodness. Your eye will continue to see his way, his will, and that what he have. Because without vision, people perish. Come on. If we cannot see, we cannot move forward. There's no direction. But God comes and he says that if you give him, "Do you have my heart?" He will say, "You will see my ways." There will be a continuation in seeing his goodness, his will. Amen. So I declare over this year that you will see even more than before. You will see even more than what God has for you. It's difficult when we cannot see, is it? Because sometimes, like prophecy, we only see in part. It's true. But then when we only see in part, the word says what? We walk by faith and not by sight. Come on. So you don't have to see everything. We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, me personally, I don't know if you like me, but I tend to get stuck in my ways. I like my patterns and I like my discipline. I like my routines. Who of you are like that? You like your little nest. You don't want to, for a time in my family, I don't know if my mother and father is listening now, but father-in-law and mother-in-law. For a long time, it felt like I was the one who found out last what's happening. So I'm just informed. So they talk, they make decisions, and I'm just informed. I'm like, I'm the husband, I'm the man of this house. All right, and I'm just being informed. I don't like to be surprised. I'm stuck in my ways. Anything that diverts me from my routine is annoying. I don't like it. We are like that, isn't it? We're creatures of habit. And worse yet, when life's diversions comes upsetting, sometimes it's uncomfortable or unsettling, or sometimes even it's painful, isn't it? But God sometimes does it. That's what I want to speak, that when God diverts your life, when there's a God diversion, because God does that in our lives. Come on, and we cannot always see that, but God does it. And therefore God says, hey, what? And Isaiah, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So even though we think we've got a good plan for our lives, God says, hey, I've got a better way for you. And therefore sometimes we see in part and God says, I'm going to divert your way. I'm bringing a God diversion into your life. Amen. God sometimes brings that diversion because he often knows to divert us will take us, you know, out of our comfort zones, but he takes us on that place because it will give us more out of our lives. It will get something more out of your life. Come on. God wants more for you. He's not just the ordinary one. He's the one of abundance, out of the overflow, isn't it? So when God sometimes diverts our lives, it's because he wants the more for you. Come on. More than when you just be stuck in your original plan or your place. More than that. I want to just touch on a couple of people. Think of Joseph. God diverts him to Egypt. He's got these dreams on a way. God gives him the dreams. Come on. Your dreams from God? God gives him the dream. He shares it. Nothing wrong. Have you been so excited about what God shows you that you want to share it to people? You want to tell them, hey, you know, I saw what God tells me, and this is... And where does it end up? He's being sold, thrown into a pit. Even in Egypt, he does the right thing. He flees from Potiphar's wife and he's thrown into prison. How many of you feel like I've been imprisoned even doing the right thing? But I've been imprisoned. Coming, all these things, thrown in a pit, running from sin, all these things. But for what a glorious end. To save a nation from starvation. To continue with God's bigger plan. Come on, say for yourself, my life is not my own. It's for the glory of God. Do you believe it? My life is not my own. It's for the glory of God. That means he can do whatever he wants with you. That's what the potter says. Hey, the clay, you cannot tell the potter, what are you doing? I don't like what you're doing. How many of you have prayed that prayer for me and make me do whatever you want? Huh? And then when God's busy, he says, I don't like it. Do whatever you want, Lord. We pray all these prayers. And then I don't like what he's doing. So if you had a choice, you know, in what he wants to do with your life. The fact that you're breathing is because of his faithfulness. Isn't it? So Joseph, there's Moses. God takes him out of the luxury of a palace 40 years into a wilderness. God diverts his life because he's got a greater plan for his glory. Come on. Think of all the journey. Man, just to wander alone. I can wander alone in the wilderness. That's fine. I can cope with it. But to have a nation following you, murmuring and complaining the whole time. That's something different. Wandering around with all these voices nagging behind you. Because I can keep myself busy in my own mind. But now he needs to hear this complaints. But God has got a plan, isn't it? Abram, a diversion. God calls him out of his father's house, says, I'll show you. But now he journeys with a promise of a lineage, of a nation for 25 years, not seeing anything. How many of you have been journeying for 5 years and you're tired? I'm just asking questions. David, being diverted, anointed as king, suddenly he's a fugitive running for his life. Have to run from Saul, who turns mad every now and then, trying to kill him. Sometimes even, I love that part where he needs to act like a madman. He's just killing the Philistines. Now he needs to go back to the Philistines to save his own life. And he acts like a madman, foaming from his mouth, all these things to just survive. Do you think that's a good story? What if it happened to you? Because sometimes we read the Bible, I love it what Tian said now. It's a lot of books. It's a library. But sometimes we read it as it's just fiction. Just a story. And there's a little moral lesson we can learn from it, isn't it? It's real people, real life events that happened. And so we sometimes complain about the diversion that our life takes, what God wants to do with us. But God sometimes takes us on a diversion. Come on. But this is a hard one. What about Hosea the prophet? I brought a big cloth today. Hey, sometimes you disappear, I can't see you. Hosea, do nothing wrong. In fact, it says that he's faithful and obedient. But he suffers his whole life. Not just the part, his whole life. I don't know if you know the history, but God gives him a wife, says, you marry her, Gomer, like a prostitute, an adulteress, not just one, many affairs. He needs to suffer the humiliation, but God says, like this relationship, your life is going to be a prophetic act. Your life is going to be a prophetic word. And like your wife's running away, tell Israel, they're running away from me. They're in an adulterous serving other gods. What about your life being a prophecy? Not just a diversion. In fact, he's obedient, but he suffers in his marriage. So all his children get these sad names because of the suffering of what he goes through. It's a picture of a good man with a lot of bad things happening to him. Who of you have prayed that prayer? I am the clay, form me and make me as you will. Sometimes we don't like it, but it's for what? Not for me, but for the glory of God. Whenever God does something, it's for His glory. Come on. Joseph and Mary. The angel comes and announces what? Significant diversion. You're going to be pregnant, but there's no man involved. It's going to be God. You'll be with child and you're going to name him Jesus because he will save the world from their sins. Luckily, Joseph believed the bigger purpose. He names the boy Jesus. The rest is history. You know it. But what about the diversion in your life? That God wants to maybe take you on a journey and you don't like what God's doing. You know, sometimes, again, remember, we like our molds. We're stuck. We're rigid. Peter, being a Jew, growing up, prays. God says, go with these men. Gets to a Gentile's house and he struggles. Do I enter? Holy Spirit's doing something. But because he was stuck in his routine, in his task, in his culture. And God diverts him and says, it's not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles. This gospel, this message. But are you stuck so in your way that God cannot use you? Or are you allowed to follow the God diversion? Yesterday I was driving with someone and I said after we worked at a house, I dropped him at his place. And on the way, I said, I'll drop you. And he says, wait, I want to show you something. He says, I didn't plan it, you didn't plan it, but this is God. And that's where it just hit me, hey? Sometimes in life, there's little diversions that God does where it's not him or you or they, but it's God. And do you trust what God is doing in your life? Jakob preached it last year, ambiguity. Are you open to more than one way of declaring or interpreting what God's saying? Or are you so stuck that there's no other way but your way? Frank Sinatra sang it and he died. Né? I did it my way. Or are you following? Are you saying, Lord, allow me to work with you? I'll follow the God diversion. So Peter has to follow it. You know what we do about comfort zones? We like being comfortable, isn't it? Who of you likes being comfortable? Come on, raise your hand high. Don't be, please God, see all these hands that you can work on them. God saw it. We like being comfortable, isn't it? And what's the thing about being comfortable is what we like being predictable. We don't like surprises, isn't it? But God is anything but comfortable and predictable. Come on, children of God are led by the Spirit of God. And a lot of us, we don't like this part. We want predictable. We like God to be tucked in and orderly, isn't it? God is a God of order. So therefore, there needs to be godly order. But sometimes God comes and messes up our tucked inness and our structures because He wants to do something. If you like God real orderly, I tell you, God's going to come and mess you up. He's going to flip you the other way around. God just doesn't do the same thing. You know what's our problem is we want to follow a structure. Therefore, we think God's going to operate the whole time the same way every time. If He spoke to you like this, you expect Him to speak again like that, isn't it? You're not open to other ways. You want to hear Him the same way. And the problem, why God doesn't do stuff the same way is why? It's because we're going to start worshiping a system and not Him. That's why God doesn't do things the whole time the same way, where we are led by the Spirit. Because we make a little religion, we make a little recipe. We want predictable. And God says no. Because then you're going to be so focused on the system instead of Me, the source. Come on. John 3 says, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound. You do not know where it comes from or where it goes, but so is it with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Are you born of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit has got an unpredictable nature. You have things like God speaks to Moses. Just imagine this, where Moses has a burning bush experience. And he comes back and he says, God, talk to me. And now he tells you, I saw Him speaking. And if God doesn't speak to you in a burning bush, it's not Him. Just think if you got stuck in that way. Come on, who of you had a burning bush experience? So God doesn't speak? Just imagine if we got stuck and He says, there's no other way. I saw Him speak. I heard Him. Come on. Sometimes, and this is our problem, we like God tucked into something that only our brain can understand. Are you even willing to let your brain go a little bit more than what you think it can? We have brains, you know that. So sometimes we're so stuck in our mind, God wants to shake being rigid. God wants to shake your religious mindset. God wants to shake and allow you to flow with Him. You need not the system, come on, you need the presence of God. Even if it's unpredictable. Amen. I hope I'm speaking to you. Do you trust that God has got greater plans than what you think? Or that He can do a far better work than what you can do? Acts 16. We have Paul on his way. And listen, so many of these things is ordained by God. Paul wants to go somewhere for the gospel. Great mission, great man. But the Holy Spirit, say Holy Spirit. We're talking about God. The Holy Spirit says no. He prevents him twice. Not going where he wants to. But he's got this drive, I want to, but he says no. So what does the Holy Spirit do? He diverts, a godly diversion to where? Macedonia. Do you know where's Macedonia? The church of Philippi was established when he went to Macedonia. God had other plans, so he sends him. And what does he see? In a dream, he sees what? A man calling him, saying, come over here. And when he gets there, what does he find? A godly diversion. Who does he find? Come on. Not a man, a woman. Lydia. In his culture and his set, if he's so set in his mind and culture, if there was a woman, he's not going to go. But God comes and brought a godly diversion saying, hey, come over here. He finds Lydia open. And it says she and her whole household came and believed and they stayed with her. And then the church of Philippi was established. And powerful things happened in that church. The book of Philippi and Timothy, when we read back, it's already 10, 12 years back when he writes. And what does he say? We've said it last year. He says, hey, the good work that I have begun in you, I will complete. Come on. He declares it over the church where 10 years or 11 years back went by a godly diversion. And God says, that what I've started in you, I will finish. I'm doing a good work in you. But it comes with some challenges. Godly diversion. But there's the lady with the divination that they rebuke and they cast out a demon and they're thrown into prison. What about your godly diversion? You're like, I'm thrown into prison following you. God allows it, but there's hardships. But there's many other powerful miracles. The God of the jail gets born again in his whole house. God has got a bigger picture. Let's do these last things, then we're done. When God changes your direction, what? Sometimes the straightest line between A and B is not the route that God's going to take you on. Sometimes we think that's the shortest way, isn't it? But his ways, again, are higher than our ways. Sometimes we chart out our course. We say, this is where we're going. This is our destination. And unexpectedly, God changes our direction. He brings a diversion. Do you trust him in that? Do you trust him? Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaf remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Come on. When God says, when you put your trust in me, you will not cease. Even when the heat is on, you will bear fruit. Come on. Say, that's me. Come on. No, there's only that part that says it. Say, that's me. That's who you are. To bear good fruit. Three things, then we're done. One, when God changes your direction, when there's a diversion, one, God has not changed. Say, amen. Amen. Malachi comes in Malachi 3. He says this, I am the Lord, I change not. That's the prophet. God never changes. I am the Lord, I change not. Amen? A.B. Simpson says this. He says, all may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Jesus said it, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whenever God diverts you or change, he doesn't change. Amen? He's always faithful, he's always good, he's always right, and he always finishes that what he started. Amen? Second thing. When God diverts you, the destination has not changed. Come on. Because this is, if God changed your direction, did the destination change? Am I on my way to somewhere else now? When God diverts you, the destination has not changed. It says, it depends on which destination you're talking about, okay? Maybe some of you are on your way to hell. So when God changes, your destination doesn't change. It doesn't change, né? Because when we have goals in mind and objectives, sometimes we have certain things in mind that's not set by God. It's not ordained by God. Sometimes you're on your way to somewhere, but it's not God. The goal of Christian life is what? He says that you can get to the knowledge and the glory of God. The glory of God. Glorify through me. Be glorified is one of your destinations in life. That you bring glory to him. Amen. So whatever you do and whatever God does, your destination doesn't change. It's to bring glory to God. Same agenda. Last thing. Sometimes when God diverts us, it's because God wants to change you. God is changing you. Amen. God's changing you. Whenever our lives take a detour road, it's because God has got a plan. He's got a purpose. Some of us, we need to get rid of excess baggage. Some needs to pick up a precious truth maybe on the way. Sometimes perhaps God diverts you to just get you quiet and say, hey, I need a private meeting with you. I need time with you to sit down. Abram's life was that he didn't take the simplest route every time. Moses didn't, you know, from being a king, went to the backside of a desert. David, being a king anointed, has to hide away in caves. Often God's prophets had to move around, like Elijah, killing the Baals, and now the Baal prophets now flees for his life. When God changes our direction, so many times he's trying to change us, something in us. But are you allowing God to do that? Stop worrying about God's choice and worrying about your future. God has got it planned out already. Amen. God has got your steps. You just keep on following. Stay on the lookout for what God wants to tell you. Amen. Just say, hey, you are in charge of this trip. I'm just coming with you. But you are in charge. So I want to speak this morning and just stir your hearts and say, maybe sometimes when there's a diversion in your life, it's not all the devil. God does many diversions, but God takes you somewhere. Amen. God doesn't change. The destination hasn't changed, but maybe God wants you to change and change something in you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.